Bringing him on the line right now is Jordan. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Well, hello there again. Happily happy to be with you.
All right. Well, it is good to have you back here, Jordan. A lot of people have requested you as a guest, and we really just seemed like we just got started last time we had you on the program. And I think you were talking about names, Al, that names mean... we got a CD going crazy on us. All right. We're talking about names. Has that ever happened to you, Jordan? CD just start playing by itself?
Well, not that, but I've had everything else but that.
I'll tell you what, I was with the program director here in Annapolis. We were getting a tour of a Masonic temple, and they had no idea that we were, we weren't dishonest. We just wanted to have a tour. It's free. And as we were going through, I asked him, I said, have you seen any ghosts in here? And he said, yes. He opened the door, and there was a mirror. He said, there's one right there. So I don't know. Maybe is that the kind of thing that happens to you?
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of funny things that can be seen in Masonic lodges. It's a very interesting subject. I don't have anything in particular against Masonry, especially American Masonry. It has such an illustrious past with this country. If there's anything I would find fault with in Masonry, it would be British Grand Lodge. Now, that's a whole different ball of wax when you get into the British Masonry and the European Masonry as opposed to American Masonry. That's a big subject, not one that I wanted to get into tonight.
We were talking about Masonry last week, but talking about spooky things happening. Now, you list topics that you can talk about, such as, I'm going to read them off here, and say, is this you? I suppose it is. Astral theology, sexual symbolism in world religions, foundations of the modern day religions, secret society and toxic religions, world mysteries, ancient and modern, ancient symbols and occult emblems. Are these the type of things that you have researched? And if so, were you drawn to those, or how did you get this information?
Well, you know, I've been asked that many times, and I really don't have an answer. I don't know how I really got into this. You know, it's like most other people. How in the world did you ever get into what you're doing? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just was always, even as a child, I was always interested in paranormal, in the world of the unseen, the occult, the things which are hidden. As a child, I would question adults around me. Why do you use this term? Why do you use that word? Why does everyone around me, all the adults around me, accept this symbol and that symbol or that emblem and have such high respect for it? Now, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. And most people, you know, most adults even then would look at me like I was crazy because everybody, mm-hmm. everybody knows that. No, not everybody does know it. And then I began to realize that adults have no idea in the world what they're doing. They haven't got the faintest idea in the world what these symbols and words and terms and emblems and coats of arms and flags and heraldry and shields and presidential emblems and seals. Most adults have no comprehension whatsoever in the world of the occult.
Well, Jordan, let me ask you this question, then let's get right to it. Can objects, you mentioned coat of arms and symbols, can objects be doorways to the underworld?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. In my mind, as far as I'm concerned, that is exactly what happens. I mean, a classic example is not the only one, but one that we can all relate to is the swastika. Because even in the ancient Tibetan, the ancient Hindu, they believed that the swastika represented a divinely appointed goodness and enlightenment, intelligence, and all those things. Well, Adolf Hitler took it, and today, we know that the Nazis were able to dazzle the whole psyche of a country. They dazzled the German people with the swastika and took the entire country into a dark and profoundly evil period in human history. And incidentally, it's been estimated that 97% of the total population of Germany at the time of Adolf Hitler were Christians. And so it's a classic example about how a very highly intelligent in 1920s and 30s, Germany was considered, in the 1920s and 30s, Germany was considered to be the most progressive, intelligent, leading country of Europe. It was on the cutting edge of knowledge and understanding. The Germans have always been a very bright and intelligent people. But even 97% of them who were at that time Christian were dazzled by a symbol that we have known, we come to know as the swastika, and it took the entire country into a whole dark era. So yeah, symbols can be very important.
Yeah, I don't know if it might have been you I was asking. Wasn't somebody make a comment that while the Christians in Germany were singing Amazing Grace, the truckloads of Jews were on their way to the death camps?
Yeah, basically. And you know, the more we change, the more we stay the same.
Now, didn't Adolf Hitler and his henchmen, weren't they trying to find the Holy Grail?
Well, yeah, you know, that's well, look, at when we get into those subjects about the Nazis and what they were interested in, that opens up a huge can of worms, because I've been looking at this subject for some 40 years. I was interested in the religion and the philosophical and the religious components to Nazism as far back as 60 and 61. And when you begin to look at the actual religious beliefs of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party, it is astoundingly fascinating stuff. You know, they make movies about it, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Adolf Hitler's looking for these religious symbols. Well, why were the Nazis looking for the Lost Ark of the Hebrews? Well, that wasn't a Lost Ark of the Hebrews to start with. It had to do the whole idea in the Bible of the Ark of the Covenant directly comes from the ancient Egyptian Ark of the Contract. And of course, Indiana Jones finds the Lost Ark not in the Holy Land, but in Egypt. And, of course, that's where it was. It's an Egyptian symbol, not Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the Nazis found the Ark of the Covenant, what would that have changed the outcome of the war?
Well, I don't think so. But I think what is being said there, I think this whole idea that Spielberg is presenting in the movies, the idea that the Nazis were looking for the Lost Ark or the Holy Grail, I am sure that what he was saying in those movies is that these two symbols, the Holy Grail, which is of course the most important symbol in Christianity, the cup of Christ, and, of course, the most important symbol in Judaism was the Lost Ark. These two symbols were nothing more than a metaphor. They were a symbolic metaphor for something very dark and profoundly spiritual. They represented symbolically something. So the entire two movies were talking about how America, in the person of Indiana Jones, and the Nazis were looking for something spiritual that had awesome and world-changing powers. And I believe that these two symbols represented spiritual wisdom, knowledge of an occult knowledge, which the Nazis knew existed and wanted.
Now, did the UN take the swastika as part of its form or symbol?
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it, but I don't think the UN, as such, used it. They use another equally as powerful occult symbol, and that is the Roman Reef. The United Nations, of course, represents the powers of the Roman Empire over the earth. It's that's why it's blue, and it has around the earth the Roman Reef, because Rome still controls the world. Just as Caesar was controlling the Roman Empire, well, Rome still rules the world. Mm-hmm. But it does it in such a way that you're not even supposed to see it.
All right, Jordan, when you say Rome, are you saying a force behind Rome? Or are you talking about Romans as a people? What? Explain Rome. What is it?
Okay, yes, and that's very, very, very good. A very good question. When I say Rome rules the world today, I mean the secret powers behind the Roman Empire, because even Caesar was not the ultimate decider of the fate of men, even though he presented himself to the Romans as a god. And point of fact, there were people, there were men behind him who he served. We know about the Pisos family, Arius, Copernicus, Pisos, and the Pisos dynasty, spelled P-I-C-O-S. You can go on the web, go to a library, look it up, and you will find that the Pisos were the Rothschilds or Rockefellers of the Roman Empire. They were the real brains behind the banking and money and the powers behind Rome. Well, that's the way it's always been. Virtually, as far back in history as you can go, mm-hmm. we have people who present themselves to the world as the great leaders of mankind, and they are the great overthrowers of the enemy, and they are our glorious leaders. Yeah. But actually, in fact, they're just puppets on a string to the people who run things, and that's mm-hmm. money.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jordan, let's go back. Where did the organizations that created the Roman culture, where did they come from? I mean, how far can you take that back?
Well, it goes back to the Etruscans, who were the original, what we would today refer to as Italians. Italians were actually Etruscans. The Etruscans came out of the old Phoenician, Babylonian dynasties, can be traced all the way back to Sumeria. It's a very ancient, dark bloodline of power that has come down from the ancient and prehistoric world. It's a fascinating subject when you get into the darkness of the occult powers of the world and how these political powers have been manipulated and symbolized. Today, we are a good example of the kind of thing I'm talking about. We use, in our country today, we have the American eagle, the bald eagle, and that, then we look at this eagle and see it as a very wonderful, powerful symbol of the great American republic. In point of fact, if you just do some homework, you will find that the eagle was used by, first, the last ones before us used it were the Nazis. Adolf Hitler's main symbol for the Nazi Party and for Nazi Germany that wanted to take over the world was an eagle. It was almost identical to the American eagle. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was the Roman eagle. That was the main symbol for the Roman Empire was an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back into Greece, into Phoenicia, Cana, Sumeria, the Hittites, the Babylonians, all of them used the eagle. So it's no new thing that America should use an eagle. What is really interesting is what does the eagle actually represent to the powers behind America? That's when it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, that again, that's a whole program in itself,
yeah.
The symbols of America, and what do they really mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, if someone, let's just say, has a favorite emblem, so it's like an eagle, and let's just say it represents the United States, would they, without their knowledge, be inviting, so to speak, or having a door open for negative
yeah.
things to happen, such as car crashes or job firings or anything like that?
I think so. I believe that is true.
Okay, so would you say then that what people consider as coincidence may not be coincidence, but might be a result of series. Let's just say they get beads from South America, some prayer beads or something, and they get a replica swastika, or maybe they get a shield from England. If they have these things, would there be multiple doors open? And then would you say there would be a convergence of evil that could happen in their life?
I think it's my opinion. You're asking me for my opinion, and I think yes. I think that symbols are very important. I mean, they impact your psyche in such a way as you're not even aware of it. I mean, to prove that to yourself, just go into any local synagogue wearing a swastika on your shoulder and see what kind of an emotional response you get. That's way down deep in people. They will become not just angry, they will become violently angry. Why? They're just seeing a symbol and sight that kind of a response from your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the same is true in many, many symbols of the world that we see. We don't even realize how they're impacting our psyche and impacting us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how the cross in Christianity, of course, and as a, you know, we know about the symbols in religion. People are, you know, we are trained to respond to outside stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And
what if we begin, Jordan Maxwell, what if we begin to remove some of these objects from our lives? What would we expect to happen?
Well, I don't think we can do that, because I think it's in the nature, hardwired, so to speak, into our psyche, into our nature as man and woman, to need outside stimuli to direct our thinking and our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Christians have crosses. I mean, what would Christianity be without the cross?
Mm-hmm.
What would Judaism be without the menorah?
Yeah.
What would communism be without the hammer and sickle?
Right.
How many, you know?
Okay, well, let me ask you this question then. You just sparked a thought in my mind. When the children of Israel were delivered across the Red Sea from the Egyptians, and Moses evidently was going up to get the Ten Commandments on a mountain, the people demanded that Aaron make them a golden calf. Is this what you're talking about? Where they insist on having something that they can put their hands on, something they can see. Is that part of the hard wiring you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. That's basically it. And the golden calf, of course, was the constellation of Taurus, the bull. This is what the golden calf represented, because all of Judaism and all of Christianity is based on astrotheology or astrology, and it has been camouflaged, so to speak. It has been covered in such a way that most people don't see it, and this is why the Bible has Jesus saying many will look with their eyes but not see, and will listen with their ears but not hear, and with the heart not get the sense of it. And I believe that the Christians and Jews have not got the sense of their own religion, because they missed the most important point about the Bible and religion, and that is both Judaism and Christianity are astrology. And this is why Moses is confronted by the children of Israel with a golden calf. Golden is the color of the sun.
Is that why?
And the sun in the 2,000-year period of Taurus is the bull. This is why you have the bull of the stock market, and so it's the golden calf.
Is that anything to do with why Jesus had 12 disciples?
That's exactly right.
Oh, am I on the right track here?
Yes, I'm afraid you are.
Whoa. Okay, well, all right.
And once you begin to see that Jesus had 12 apostles, because Joseph had 12 brothers, and there were the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 brothers of Joseph, and the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest of Israel, 12 apostles, everything was done in the sequence of 12, and of course Jesus is referred to as God's Son, the light of the world. Well, of course the Son is the light of the world. And when you see the 12 followers of God's Son are actually the 12 signs of the zodiac. And once you begin for the first time to actually see and put down all of your pre-arranged concepts and just look at the picture, it becomes very obvious what the story is. It's called, the New Testament is actually the story of astrotheology. The subject is a profound subject, one which unfortunately most Christians, Jews, and Islamic peoples don't want to hear.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's always been the case. People don't really want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And they will always support what they want to hear. People will, if you like opera, you're not going to go to a rock concert. You know, and if you like Presley, you're not going to pay big money to go to a rap concert. People won't pay.
I also note that depending on which segment of Christianity you're in, God happens to like the music you like. That's kind of strange. That's kind of strange. All right. Well, we're talking about secret societies and the things, but I think we want to go back. We talk about the Italians being the first. Was there anybody before them? How far can we go back?
Oh, Avengers. I mean, it's a long line, as I said, going all the way back probably to Proto-Sumeria. Even before the Sumerians, there were peoples that were already formalizing what we today refer to as our great religions of the world. You know, it's just an amazing turn of events to see how the more we change, the more we stay the same. The ancient peoples had certain beliefs, and we still channel it, and we still cherish those beliefs today. They realized that the sun was a giver of life. It provided energy, and energy is life. And they realized that the sun only had so much energy. They weren't stupid. They realized the sun would one day burn out. So the Egyptians said that every day the sun is giving its energy so that the plants will grow and you can eat the plants and stay alive. So God's sun, the light of the world, was giving his life so that you might live. And when you begin to break down the ancient religions and see today we are still worshiping the same symbols. Christianity is, its main symbol is the sun.
In your view, Jordan, should people stop worshiping?
No, I think it would be a brilliant idea. I don't think it's going to ever happen, but I think it would be a wonderful idea if we were to just take a few minutes out of our life and educate yourself as to where things come from. Because, let me give you an example of why I think this is important. Because Christians around the world are praying each day to their God for peace and security. Jews around the world go to the Wailing Wall and pray to their God for peace and harmony and security. While every day violence and bloodshed is growing around the world, people pray for peace and wars are continuing to get larger and bigger and larger, which tells me that you're praying to the wrong God. What you're doing is you're talking to yourself.
Okay.
And consequently, and of course, truth is always difficult to take because people are not used to hearing the real truth. The real truth is that we are going in the opposite direction of spirituality. We are being misled by man-made, corporate-financed religions rather than going into interior, into your own spiritual self and getting in tune with the spiritual universe around us and learning for the first time the history of religion, the history of spirituality, and who we are as an individual and who we are as a nation. And until and such time that we do something like that, we're going to continually be led down the garden path into wars and violence and bloodshed and praying to God. And the more we pray, the bloodier the world becomes.
Well,
obviously,
that's interesting.
Something is wrong.
Yeah, I'd agree with you that something is wrong. In fact, I think our guest last week, Stephen Schroeder, was saying that people were praying to the wrong God. Said they've been praying for a revival. They don't have one because they're surrounded. In fact, what he said was, people are surrounded by paganism, and they're praying. They're praying to the world. They're praying to Earth. They're praying to ancient mystery holidays like Easter and Christmas. And he said, no wonder God's not hearing them.
Well, I mean, that's just what I think I just said.
Yeah, so I think there's a stream of consciousness that some people may be moving out out of that box, so to speak, as we call it here on the edge, or the matrix goo. There's some hope there.
Well, I mean, look, at logic alone would tell you, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this one out, that if millions of people every day are praying because of their misery, because of death and poverty and the terrible human conditions going on around the planet, millions of people profess to worship God, and they're praying, and situation progressively gets worse each year, then you've got to conclude something is wrong. But, however, the way humans normally operate, we all know that none of us wants to admit we're wrong. Children in school, and when you're growing up and you're going to school, you don't like to be criticized and laughed at and made a fool out of in front of the class because you're ignorant and ill-informed. So children are susceptible to what we call peer pressure. We go along to get along because we don't want to be mocked and laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
So we want all of our friends to love and appreciate us, and we want to be one of the gang. And so consequently, we just go along to get along. Well, this is exactly what the international mafias of the world that run our planet, the bankers, the international illuministic secret societies, they have always known, that humans love to be herded like cattle. And we all like to belong to something, and we don't want to stand alone by ourselves for what is right. And consequently, as one European historian said, can't remember his name right now, he said that the nations of the world have always, and are now, and always will support a dictator. And it is true that peoples of the world in every country have always supported a dictatorship. They did in Nazi Germany, they did in Rome, they did in Greece, they did in Babylon and in Egypt. They do right now today in England. You have the Queen Mum and the Queen and her royalty riding down the street in gold chariots,
mm-hmm,
while the people are starving. And the people fall on their knees and get faint-hearted when they see the Queen Mum. And they love to support dictatorships. And this is exactly the kind of atrocities that are going on today around the world because of ignorance, ill-informed, unread, generally darkness of the human mind.
Yeah.
And this is what America was supposed to be able to do, is to enlighten the world. That's what the Statue of Liberty is holding, the torch. The torch is the torch of enlightenment, to give opportunities to people to grow, to wake up, to go to school, to educate yourself, to enlighten yourself. But unfortunately, it didn't work.
Hmm.
We've got 80% of America are totally ill-informed about the world they live in. They don't read. They don't have anything to read if they did read. The mass media will not allow you to know the real truth. And so...
What does the media want from all this? Are they part of the Illuminati?
Well, the media is simply the handmaidens. They are the in-house servant. The handmaidens of the banking families of Europe. If you understand how the world works, you understand that money is the bottom line. It always has been. We call it the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules.
Hmm.
And consequently,
wow,
America is financed out of Europe. I mean, all of your laws, most people in this country do not realize that laws in America, federal, state, county, city, our laws in this country are copyrighted in Canada for the Queen of England. Wake up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And if they wake up, what would they do?
Well, at least, you know, I've thought about that. At least wake up enough to educate yourself so at least you don't play the fool.
Mm-hmm.
At least you can get in tune with that universal God force that all wise people in the world have always known existed.
Yeah, Jordan,
I am totally convinced that there is what we refer to loosely as God. I don't call it God. I call it a divine presence in the universe. But I am totally convinced that there is such an entity or a presence, which we call God, because I have a problem with that word God, because God is simply dog spelled backwards. And this is why you have church dogma. If you understand words and terms, you will begin to see we have been misled in our mm-hmm. spiritual pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand how the world works.
Have you one of the top selling books of 2005 and I think 2004 too as well was the Purpose Driven Life. Have you heard of that book?
Yes, I have, and I think that is a very it's a profound idea. Yeah, and I must say that my life has been driven by only one purpose from as far back as I can remember. I never seemed to fit in class. I never seemed to do well in school.
Uh-huh.
I never seemed
yeah.
to be able to join in. Mm-hmm. I've never voted for anything in my life. I have always reserved for myself my own spirituality, my own integrity, and my own mind.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what the masses of the world think or believe.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my own research,
mm-hmm.
read and study for myself, and decide for myself. I am not one to grab a flag and go out and wave flags and go with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Only fools do that.
And Jordan, let me ask you, then, do you believe that each person must find their own truth?
Well, there is one truth in the universe, I'm telling you, but
mm-hmm.
you have to know how to access it. And this is what the ancient
Well, wait a minute now. What if you're living in a hut in Africa? How are you going to access the truth there?
Well, a classic example of living in a hut in Africa is the Dogon people, spelled D-O-G-O-N. Go on
mm-hmm.
the web and read about the Dogons. They
uh-huh.
live in huts in Africa,
okay.
and they knew all about, and they were telling the Europeans 100 years ago, and still are today, all about the universe, how much the planets weigh, all of the dimensions of the planets and the stars. They understood all of the universe. It's a famous story about how the ancient Africans knew so much about the universe that we don't even begin, our scientists don't even begin to know. The Egyptians had a mathematics and a study of astronomy. The ancient Africans knew all kinds of strange and interesting knowledge about the universe and about our solar system that we are just now beginning to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that there is a profound spiritual presence in the universe,
mm-hmm.
but Americans, unfortunately, have missed it because we don't need it. We have a religion.
Mm.
We don't need spirituality. We have a religion now.
What would you call the American religion?
I would call it materialism and Roman civil. It's based on America as a Roman society. It's based on Rome.
Is it the revived Roman Empire?
Yes, of course it is, obviously. Everyone seems to know that. I mean, if you go back into history, you will see that Caesar, the seat of power from where Caesar ruled Rome, was referred to as Capitol Hill. And up on Capitol Hill, it was said, and all the historians wrote, that Caesar each morning would, quote, go up on the hill, end quote. And what was he going up on the hill for? Well, he went up on the hill to officiate over the Senate, the Roman Senate. Well, that's what we have,
yeah.
a Roman Senate up
mm-hmm.
on the hill. And what was the symbols of the Senate? Well, the symbols of the Senate in ancient Rome were two fasces that were crossed in the cross of St. Andrew, two fasces. Well, what is the symbol of the American Senate? Two Roman fasces crossed like St. Andrew's cross. And I'm saying, my God, the more we change, the more we stay the same. We're
mm-hmm.
still worshiping the same Roman gods, the same pagantry, the same symbols, the same emblem, and
mm-hmm.
consequently we're still slaves just as the slaves
mm-hmm.
were in Rome because we have forgotten our natural, normal, human, male and female, man and woman heritage that we have from our Creator.
Okay. Yeah.
We love to go along, to get along, we accept things without question, and consequently that's why we are right now nothing more than slaves. And we all pretty well know that, but nobody wants to talk about it in public because it's not a pretty subject to discuss in public. But I'm saying if we're going to save this country, somebody better start figuring out who is running this country, and it's the Roman Empire. We are living under Caesar of mm-hmm. Rome, a dictatorship. Go on the web and look up, or go to a library and read a book on fascism, and look at the word fasci and see what the word fasci means. Then look around Washington, D.C., and you will see everywhere fascis.
Huh.
It's an extraordinary story of betrayal. A couple of things I'd like to preface this hour with. One thing is I have always tried to remember to say on all interviews that I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything. I never have been and can't be. The world is too big. There are too many things we don't know. So I'm just an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I love wisdom. I love knowledge. I love finding out for the first time things which have been purposely hidden from me. And so I do what I do mm-hmm. only because I love truth. That's all.
Well, I got to agree with you there. One of the reasons we started this broadcast over a year ago was, one, because the major broadcasters were finding ways to charge everyone to listen to anybody who was speaking. And the other was that I found out that fluoride wasn't that good. And after that, I decided that, hey, if that fraud was perpetrated on me, how many other frauds of information have been perpetrated on me? Would you agree with that?
Right. Let me give you an example. Two things I want to say. One quickly. One of the subjects that you announced that I deal with is sexual symbolism in world government. I'll give you a quick example, and then I want to go on to something else. The Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., we know as an Egyptian obelisk. But most people don't realize the Egyptian obelisk can be traced back to a phallic symbol. The Egyptian obelisk is the male erection, and it connects, obviously, to the female ovaries. And this is why you have an oval office. The symbolism is everywhere. The waters between the male phallic and the female ovaries are the oval office. The waters of life, you know. You come down your mother's birth canal. You need to understand the symbolism. It's all around you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to say is that it's an example of wisdom. Is if you are, for instance, if you have a second story or two story building and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses and whatever, if you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, the first thing to do is go downstairs, get on a ladder with a building inspector, and go up through the ceiling tiles and look at the foundation of the second floor to see if it's going to hold that kind of weight. But what you're doing is you're now standing under the foundation to get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the word understand means, is to go down beneath the surface. Don't be shallow in your thinking. Don't allow yourself to be tricked because you're shallow. You're ill-informed and unread, and you go along to get along and believe anything. Do some research. Go down under and start digging to find out where things have come from. And then you will begin to see for the first time, this is why you have so much trouble in your life. This is why there's so much difficulty in people's lives, because they don't, you know, it's very simple. Your decisions in your life are only as good as your information.
Mm-hmm.
And if your information is faulty and ignorant, then you're going to have trouble. That's why this government, the United States, has something called a Central Intelligence Agency. They have security organizations, National Security Administration, intelligence organizations. That's a big part of military is intelligence. Simply because you can't do anything or defend yourself from an enemy that you don't even know exists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is why America is in so much trouble today. Americans, individually, are in so much hot water and difficulty in life. It's because we've been making decisions based on profound ignorance. We don't know what words mean. We don't understand what the terms mean. And, of course, they're not important.
Yeah, I think it's shocking enough for a lot of our listeners to hear someone say that you're worshiping the wrong God, too. Hey, here's a question. Come in on the fast blast for you, Jordan. Can you explain where the idea of the Holy Trinity came from?
Yeah, of course. It's very simple. People say the Trinity is a mystery. Well, of course it's a mystery, just like television. Television is a mystery to to somebody in a deep in the jungles. Jungle people look at the television and it's a mystery. Well, it's not a mystery to us, it's just TV. But when you understand what the whole concept of the Trinity was, the three stages of the sun in mankind's life. When it comes up in the morning, it was referred to, the sun was referred to in the ancient and prehistoric world. The newborn sun each morning was referred to as our risen Savior. And, of course, the sun is your Savior. If it don't come up, we're dead. So, consequently, the risen sun is one stage. Then when it reaches exactly overhead, it's the Most High. And then when it leaves at night, it leaves the world in the hands of the Prince of Darkness, and his name was Set. This is why it does get dark at sunset. And consequently, the Trinity is the three stages of the sun in the world of mankind. The morning sun, the noonday sun, and the sun at night.
Yeah.
The triune God. Therefore, and we know that the Trinity of the triune God is actually one God in three persons. That's right. Newborn in the morning, Most High at noon. That's why it's called High Noon. And then at night when it dies and leaves the world, the three stages of the sun is three persons and one God.
Yeah.
Sun God. That's why we go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this
now,
is why.
Do you believe that Sunday is the right day for people to go to church?
Well, I mean, first of all, you need to know where the word church comes from. Now, how many people go to church and have no idea where the very word comes from?
I'd say all of them.
Yeah.
Am I close?
I mean, let me give you an example. The very word church, C-H-U-R-C-H, church is an English word. If you go back to the Oxford Dictionary of the English language or go to the library and read a book on mythology, you will see that the word Sunday, the word church, can be traced back in England to a Scottish word, Kirk. This is why you have Captain Kirk on the ship Enterprise, because that's what the church is. It's an enterprise.
Huh.
But church in English comes from a Scottish word, Kirk. And Kirk can be traced back into the ancient Greek world to a Greek goddess named Circe. And she was referred to as Mother Circe, or Mother Kirk, or Mother Church. And Mother Circe in ancient Greek, go back and read some Greek mythology, and you will see that Mother Circe was known in Greek mythology as the female mother who was able to hypnotize people, bring them into her house, and then turn them into animals and feed off of them. She would eat them, and they would support her.
Whoa.
That's Greek mythology, Mother Circe. Look at the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language.
Yeah.
Check the word, see where it comes from.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, what does the word church mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another question for you. We've got a number of them, so we've got to move along a little bit. What about the term rapture in its origin?
The rapture was developed by an old lady in England who was dying of DTs. This is a very well-known story. There was an old lady in England who was very wealthy, and she had contributed heavily to a couple of the main churches. There's about three or four reference books on this one subject. And she was she was an alcoholic and dying from the DTs, and she told the ministers of the church, who would always be there to hold her hand. Why? Because she was writing the checks. And she told them that the Lord told her that there would be a rapture, and that they were going to be raptured, and so they began preaching that in the church of a rapture, and before you know it caught on with the Second Adventist movement, And by the time William L. Miller came into the United States in the 1860s, he picked up on, William L. Miller gave us what we call today the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He picked up on it and began preaching the rapture, and today we got everybody talking about the rapture, and nobody seems to realize the whole concept of the rapture came from a drunk who was dying of the DTs. Now, how many people know that?
Oh, man. But I would say probably not a lot.
How many people know that?
That didn't sound like something they'd want to teach in a Mother Circe operation.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
That's why we're in trouble. That's why we are in trouble worshiping the wrong gods.
Okay. But did you say gods? Do you believe there's
one
God?
Well, we're worshiping the wrong God.
Okay.
The very word God, let me explain to you. The very word God, G-O-D, comes from a German word Gott, G-O-T-T, or Goth, G-O-T-H, Goth. And G-O-T-T, Gott. In Scandinavian, it's gut, G-U-T. So when you say, I've got a gut feeling, mm-hmm. gut is simply God in Scandinavian language. And God is simply a German word, mm-hmm. gut,
yeah.
or goth, mm-hmm. as in Gothic.
Yeah.
So, and as I told you before, God is simply the word dog, mm-hmm. spelled backwards.
Yeah.
This is why I have church dogma.
Yeah. Jordan, do you believe that each person can be his own God?
I don't believe that at all. I think that each person is automatically connected to the Creator that created us, but that we put that light of truth out in our minds and accept a religion in the place of it, so that we no longer need mm-hmm. to do any soul searching, so to speak.
No.
We no longer need to even have a soul. And this is what's happening. We're seeing around the world violence is increasing.
So we don't need a soul? We don't need a soul?
No, we don't. We put it to sleep. It's still there.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But we've allowed it to die in each one of us. Now, this is what George Lucas is trying to tell us, I believe, in his movies of Star Wars. You have Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is a old master Jedi knight, implying some ancient secret society of which has mystical powers. And then you have Luke Skywalker, and that's an interesting term, and I know where that comes from. But who are the main characters? Is this little golden humanoid that runs around, a little robot,
mm-hmm.
that's human,
uh-huh.
and he's serving his masters. And then you've had little R2-D2 running around, which is a computer, and the symbolism is very obvious. You're talking about humans who are golden in that they produce wealth, humans who run around and serve their masters with computers.
Hmm.
And I'm telling you, once you begin to understand the symbolism in the motion pictures, it's extraordinarily brilliant stuff.
Okay.
Let me give you one other example.
Okay.
America is basically comes from Europe, Western Europe. America's population originally came from Western Europe. Well, Western Europe was always under the domination of a secret society, a very powerful religious order called the Druids. And one of the main symbols in ancient Druid religion, which America is a Druid religious country,
mm-hmm.
One of the most important symbols was the magic wand, like Merlin the magician with his magic wand. Well, magic wands were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It was made out of Hollywood. And today we're still being dazzled by the occult symbols of secret societies in something called Hollywood. And how many Americans realize where the words come from? Holly is simply, in the old language, spell holy, H-O-L-Y. So we call things holy. No, it's holly. And once you understand holly, then you understand the connection with the Druids. Oh my God, I mean, how much do you need to know to realize how much you don't know?
Jordan, is there such thing as the Reaper of Death? An angel spirit
of
death?
Well, that symbol of the old man in the robe with the sickle is actually, we call him the Grim Reaper. He is also pictured in New Year's as the old year. and the baby sitting with him is, of course, the new year. Interesting, the Grim Reaper is actually the symbol for the planet Saturn. Saturn is referred to, has been referred to as the Grim Reaper. It represents the old ancient god Saturn. And that's an interesting, you know, when you get into Saturnalian symbols mm-hmm. of the sickle. I mean, even the last Star Wars movie mm-hmm. has to do with the Sith.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Hollywood is trying to tell you something, but we are too profoundly ignorant in America, and we have no idea in the world what these symbols mean.
Are you suggesting they're trying to tell us some sort of truth?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're just telling you. They're playing with your mind. They're called mind games.
Mm.
They're playing with you. They're
yeah.
showing you things and laughing among themselves that you don't understand it. But it's right there in front of you,
mm-hmm.
But you don't see it. Darth Vader is fighting Luke Skywalker with the flaming swords, but you don't understand the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's just extraordinary how much we don't know. I realize, of course, and I have realized this for many years, that most people don't really want to know. But the reason why I do what I do, and believe me, it's caused me no end of problems. I have nothing but difficulties in the work that I do because most people don't want to hear what I'm talking about, and unfortunately a lot of people hearing it are entertained. They have no idea in the world what I'm talking about. It's just entertaining. But I'm talking about some very serious things here. We're talking about how much we have been misled into misunderstanding. And again, as I said in the first hour, you know, your decisions in life only as good as your information.
We have a question here coming on the Fast Blast for you. Have you researched the symbol that's in the New King James Version? I think it's called a triquetra. What is that?
Yeah, it's a form of the swastika. Actually,
that's a three sixes. Yeah. It looks like esoteric three sixes is what it looks like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's a form of the triune. It goes back to, there's many, many different symbols that are very similar. Japan uses them. It goes back to the pyramid itself, the three points of the triangle. You know, and why is a triangle on the dollar bill? What is that symbol? I'm glad I brought that up. You know, on the back of a $1 bill on the left-hand mm-hmm. side, you'll see an Egyptian pyramid.
Yeah.
Well, how many people in this country are carrying around a $1 bill and have no idea in the world what that's, you know, what the symbolism means?
Well, Jordan, we've been working on that little owl that's been up in the right-hand corner sitting on the ledge.
Yeah, I brought that up. I brought that up 25 years ago.
What is that owl?
Well, it's not important, actually. It's just I think it's a little inside joke.
Really?
I think that's all it is. I don't place any importance, but I was talking about it 25, 30 years ago. I was doing slide presentations on the owl on the dollar bill and the symbols on the dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about this stuff for years.
Jordan, somebody asked a question then, because you in your conversation have eliminated, so to speak, or tainted people's ideas, or however you want to put it, about what people are worshiping and how they worship and the symbols involved with it. Should people be worshiping anything or anybody?
All right. Look, you had a commercial talking about faith. The word faith in the Bible, in the New Testament, to give you an example of what faith means, we have a totally distorted understanding of what faith means, and that's why we're in trouble. The very word in the New Testament, faith, when you read about it in the Bible, does not mean what you think it means. Go back and do some homework and read it, and for the first time, it will start to work for you. Faith, to describe what faith means from a biblical standpoint, is the best way I could describe it, is when you get out of bed in the morning, do you look down on the floor to see if there's a floor to step on? No. Why? Well, because you just naturally assume that the floor will be there. Why? Why would you naturally assume anything before you take a step? Well, the idea is that you naturally assume the floor is there because it always has been there. Since you were a child in a playpen, it was always a floor beneath you, so you don't even question it. Well, that's what the word faith means. Don't question the God force. Don't question the Spirit. Just ask the Spirit. The Bible says, go into your inner chambers, ask God or ask the Spirit to give you protection, give you enlightenment, to show you what you are to know and to do, and then just trust that it'll be there.
So, Jordan, are you saying that you believe certain precepts in the Bible?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that the precepts in the Bible are profoundly important.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying they are misrepresented, misunderstood, mistranslated. That's what I'm saying. But if you look at the word and what it, and go back to its original meaning, now you begin to see the importance of what the Bible represents. I'm telling you that the way to handle this and the way to try it and see if it doesn't work, just talk to the Spirit. And it's important that you audibly talk. And do it, you know, do it in the privacy of your own home, but talk to the Spirit and ask it for whatever it is that your heart wishes. You want knowledge, wisdom, or understanding, or some situation to be cleared up, or help in some particular area. Talk to the Spirit as if you were talking to an intelligent king or an intelligent man. And then after you have made your desires known, then just depend on the fact that it's going to happen now.
Yeah, Jordan,
because you asked.
Okay, do you believe?
I'm saying, and then watch what happens.
Okay. All right, do you believe Jesus is who he said he was?
I do not believe that the man Jesus actually existed. I believe it is a metaphor. That is my belief based on some 45 years of looking at this subject. I do not believe that the man Jesus actually existed. I believe that the New Testament is a symbolic metaphor. And I believe also that unless and until you understand the metaphor and understand the spiritual implications of the story, you're never going to get it. You're never going to understand for the first time what the New Testament is trying desperately to tell you.
So are you willing to bet your eternal soul that he never existed and you don't need him?
I didn't. Look at, don't put down the idea. Don't assume because I just said something that that means I hate God, I don't believe Jesus ever existed, and I hate God. I didn't say that. I said I do not believe that the man himself existed. What I am trying to say is that the New Testament in the Bible is, in my opinion, one of the most important, profound, spiritual stories the world has ever known. But it has been misunderstood and misapplied by corporate entities referred to as the church or Caesar or Rome, and misunderstood. And this is why you are getting the reaction that we're getting around the world. Christianity is in trouble all over the world. It's as long as you're happy where you are and in your particular church, everything's fine. But if you get the macro view and back off and look at the whole world, Christianity and Judaism and religion in general is in serious trouble.
Yeah, the reason why
is because there's very little spiritual wisdom in any of it.
Okay. Well, Jordan, I noticed that in our conversation here that you do frequently refer to Judaism and Christianity. What about Islam? Should that not be mentioned as well?
Well, of course. Of course. I'm more concerned about my own country right now in conversation. But, yeah, I can talk, about religions from all around the world.
So do you believe that Muhammad actually existed?
I don't believe that at all. I am totally convinced that Muhammad would never existed as a person. I am totally convinced that Muhammad was dreamt up in the Middle Ages, by the church fathers, so that they could control the Arabic peoples of the world. And if you go back and start looking in a dictionary or an encyclopedia and go to a library and do something really interesting and new, go to a library and read a book, and look into the religion of Islam, and for the first time you will begin to see in the reference works where the Islamic religion came from. It's the worship of a meteorite. It's the worship of a stone, and the black building that is housing the stone is called the Kaaba. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's called the Kaaba. Go on the web and look up in the pictures.
So would you say the basis of Islam is fraudulent?
Yeah, well, I would say it was the worship of a meteorite. That's what it is. It's the worship of a pet rock.
Whoa.
I'm telling you, go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, go to the Encyclopedia Americana, go to the World Book Encyclopedia, go to the reference books in a big library. I'm sure you have large libraries in Indiana. Go to the library and go to the reference department and get the old big volumes and look up, research the subject of the worship of meteorites, meteorite worship, and you will begin to see the entire story of Islam is the worship of a meteorite, of a stone. It has to do with the worship of stone worship. It goes back into the ancient prehistoric world.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam is not the only stone worshiping, meteorite worshiping religion in the world. We still, even today in Jerusalem, we have the Dome of the Rock. That's right. The dome was built around a rock.
Huh.
I don't know. I mean, and I realize that the things I say are based on 45 years of intense research and study, and I'm talking to a nation that hasn't got the faintest idea in the world what I'm talking about, because obviously the things I talk about has nothing to do with basketball or football or the silliness we call news, the nightly news.
Yep.
I'm talking about some serious
yes.
things.
Yes, you are. Here's a kind of a off-the-beaten-path question for you. Who do you believe built the pyramids, Jordan?
Well, that's an interesting. I don't believe the Arabic peoples built it. You know, if you go to Egypt today, which I've been there twice, I've been in the pyramids, I've laid in the king's sarcophagus. I know Egypt. I've been there many times, but I don't believe the Arabic peoples built it. If you go to Egypt today, almost every Egyptian you meet will tell you they are from a pharaonic line. Their bloodline goes back to pharaohs. I don't believe that for a minute. Mm-hmm. I think they're Arabs. They're not Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians were an ancient people who left this world a long time ago. And the peoples of the world today cannot even begin to do
what the ancient Egyptians did. What do you mean they left this world? Where did they go?
It's like the Aztecs and the Mayas and the Inca peoples. Where did those ancient cultures just disappear to? We know that some of them just quite literally disappeared off the earth with no trace. I think that the Egyptians also just disappeared off the earth with no trace. I do not believe that the ancient Egyptians, especially the pharaonic line, if maybe it doesn't apply to the everyday Egyptians, but the pharaonic line, I do not believe were normal humans. I don't think for a moment that the pharaohs of Egypt were regular, everyday, normal, elected human leaders.
Right.
I'm totally convinced that they were not from here.
Yeah. And how do you think they left this planet?
God, I don't know. I mean, I have speculation, but that's all it is. But I'm totally convinced that the religions of this world, the governments of this world, the whole idea of a divine right of kingship can be traced back to this whole idea of divine right of the pharaohs, the divine right of the Queen of England, the divine right of kings.
Well, Jordan, wherever they went, do you believe they'll come back?
Yeah, well, now see, now you're getting into another subject. And that's really interesting. But again, you're asking for a subjective opinion. I'd rather just stick to what I know for sure is in the reference books. Because again, I'm not the world's foremost authority. I just read daily, day long.
Speaking
and research.
Yeah, when you talk about reference books, isn't there other documentations that Jesus existed besides the New Testament?
Well, there's a lot of talk even in Judaism. There's references to the man named Jesus, but his name was not Jesus. the man who Christians call Jesus. Ask any Jewish rabbi, and they will tell you, yes, there was a man that you referred to as Jesus. His name was, in fact, Yehoshua ben Pindara.
Oh.
Yehoshua ben Pindara. This is the history. Go to the Jewish history books and read about what comes out of the Roman Empire. Even the Romans knew about Yehoshua ben Pindara. Now, how many Christians know that the Jesus that they are supposedly worship, his name was Yehoshua ben Pindara? How many people know that? How many people care? Is it really important? I don't think so. I don't think it's important.
So the Pindara part, that's his last name?
Yeah, Pindara is simply a word meaning the panther. The panther,
really?
And Ben is, of course, in Hebrew, meaning the son of. And Yehoshua or Joshua or Yehoshua is the same word, and Joshua is Jesus in Greek. So Jesus is Jehoshua or Yehoshua ben Pindara, which is Jesus, the son of the panther. Again, not making this up.
Okay.
It's in reference books, Jewish reference books, Hebrew theological reference books.
Jordan, is the devil a made-up creature?
The very word devil is simply putting a D in front of the word evil. Just as God comes from the root word for good. Take an O out of good, it becomes God. Well, God is good.
Now, does God have
and
a name? Does God actually have a name?
Put a D in front of evil, and it becomes devil.
Yeah. And if you mix up the word Santa, you can spell the word Satan with the same letters.
That's it. You got it.
Huh. All right.
That's why Santa comes from the north. It goes back to Isaiah 14:12 through 14.
And here's one you probably haven't heard. If you put an N in the middle of Democrat, you got Demoncrat.
Well,
how about that one?
Yeah, well, actually, demos or Democrat, Democrat comes from demos.
Uh-huh.
In Latin, demos was a mob.
Yeah.
A mob in the street, an unruly mob, was called in Latin demos. Illustration is what the mob does. It demonstrates.
Huh.
So a demonstration is a mob in the street busting up windows and tearing down signs. It's called a demonstration or a democracy.
Jordan, does God have a name too, like Jesus does?
Well, no, because Yahweh in Hebrew, I don't know where we get the idea. Christianity has the idea that Yahweh is the name of God. But I'm not understanding what the word Yahweh even means. If you go to the Jewish encyclopedias, go to the Jewish Hebrew Togrums, go to the reference work and look up Yahweh or look up Jehovah, and you will begin to see that Yahweh is not a proper name. It's not an actual personal name. It is a word that is describing something.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't God want us to know?
What it describes, we don't even want to get into today.
Well, doesn't God want us to know who he is? Or do you think he doesn't?
You're talking about, what you're doing when you say things like that is you are now making God into man-like. You're making him human so that he wants us to talk with him. He wants us to recognize him. No, God is simply a word, G-O-D, comes from a German word, Gothic or Goth.
Well, you did say talk to the Spirit. Should we not be talking
right,
to God?
That's right, but it's the Spirit, not a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit, obviously, is not male or female. It is a presence. It's a spiritual presence all around you. And this is what angels represent. You can't see them, but they are around you, we're told. You can't see ghosts, but ghosts are all around you, we're told.
So do you believe in ghosts, Jordan?
Oh, without a doubt.
What's your explanation of a ghost?
Well, I think that they are an energy field, some sort of a energy field, because, in fact, we humans are a biological battery. I mean, we get tired, and why? Because we just feel dead. Well, we are dead because our energy level has dropped down, and that's why we are like a battery. Well, if we are an energy field or a spirit, which is another word for energy field, is a spirit, the question begs itself, are we a physical body that has a spirit, or are we a physical spirit that has taken on a physical body? And I believe that we are a physical body, and inside of us is a spirit or a biological force field that is that's the real you, the spiritual you. Point being is that when the body dies, the energy force field, that's the you, the spirit lives on. And we know, there's no doubt that there is something to this idea that we live on after we die. And there are, the Christianity says, well, if you've been good, you go to heaven. Well, how are you going to heaven? The body is in the grave. Well, you go in spirit. Well, that's what I just said. You understand?
Yeah. So where's the ghost come out of? He doesn't make it to heaven, or he's sitting still off the earth?
Well, according to the Bible and according to the biblical reference works, there are many different kinds of energy force fields or spirits. There are many different kinds. One is a disembodied spirit, meaning is the spirit that was inhabiting a body. That's your grandmother who passed away. She's still here in spirit. But then there are others who are not disembodied spirits. They are angels. They are what we refer to as angels, which were never humans. They were always created as a spirit and stayed a spirit. Then there are those who are reproduced by the connection between the angels and humans, and we read about those in they're called watchers, the Nephilim. And then we also have something called the Watchers. We don't know what they are, but the Bible says that they're not what we call angels, and they're not disembodied spirits. They're referred to in Genesis as, quote, the Watchers, end quote.
So are you saying ghosts are created as ghosts?
No, I'm saying that some of what we would refer to and think to be ghosts are disembodied spirits, probably people who have died and who have not left this realm, and they're still present here in spirit form. But there are other spirit entities there also, but they came in as spirits. They've never been in a human form, so they have always been here as a spirit. We call those angels in Christianity. We call them spirit angels, but they never were humans. So I'm saying there are two different kinds of spirits right there, one who were in a human body and one who were created as spirits. Then, as I said, there are others who are in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, for instance, tell us that there are different kinds of spirits. Some of the spirits live in what we call the abyss. They are sentenced, we're told, to live in the abyss. Well, the very word in the Bible, abyss, goes back to the root word aqua, meaning water. The word abyss in the Bible means water. So therefore, they are living in the water. That's biblical. But we think of the abyss as some terrible, dark dungeon of fire and the devil worship. No. Abyss in the Bible means water.
Sorry.
They even made a movie in Hollywood called Abyss.
Are you saying that ghosts are eventually going to get into the heavenly realm, or are they sentenced to walk the earth?
Well, I'm saying that there are spirit entities who have come from the heavenly realms.
So would a poltergeist be an evil? Would a poltergeist be an evil person that when they died, their evil ghost apparition just stayed around here?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that that thing, that phenomena that we call poltergeist, is most likely, in my subjective opinion, is most likely an entity, a spiritual entity that never was a human. It always was a spirit entity, and it probably never was of any nothing good to start with.
Would you say that God created these beings to torment men?
No, I don't think that is true at all.
Where'd they come from?
Well, I'm sure that what we would refer to loosely as God creating. What do you mean God created? I just got to saying that God is a spirit. It is a spiritual presence. It causes things to be. It's not a man, so that you can go and talk to the man and ask him why he created this evil spirit. No, it is a profound spirit. spiritual force in the universe. We refer to...
Jordan, you're losing me here. Did God create the earth? Or did the spirit of God create the earth?
The reason why... well, obviously God created the earth. Well, but what is God?
Yeah.
God is a presence in the universe called the spiritual presence. Well, the spiritual presence, let me give you something else to chew on here. When we talk about God in the ancient world, the most important symbol in the Jewish religion for God was the planet Saturn. Saturn was very, very important to the ancient Jewish religion. Most people don't know that, but if you spend 45 years reading and studying theology, you will know Saturn was extremely important to the Jewish people. Saturn was referred to in the ancient Phoenician Canaanite or Hebrew world. Saturn was referred to as El, E-L-L. And consequently, we still have remnants of that El worship today. If you're worshiping God, you are referred to as an elder. Mm-hmm. How did you get to be an elder? You got elected. Now that you are elected with an election, you are one of the elites.
Yeah.
So now you're an elite because you got elected. And how did you get elected? Well, you have the juice, electricity. Once you begin to break down the words, you begin to see that we in America have a total misunderstanding of theological terms, concepts, and ideas, and belief systems, and that, again, as I've said before, is why we are running into so much trouble. We are worshiping the wrong way.
Yeah, now here in Indiana, Jordan, you may not know, we have a river called the El, E-E-L. Is that anything to do with that?
Well, that's where you get, that the fish that is able to electrocute you, we call eels.
Huh.
Eels are fish that are carry electricity. Mm-hmm. They're called eels.
Yeah.
Eel goes back to the worship of the planet Saturn, or El. El was God. And that's why you have the city of God called Babel, or El Shaddai. El is the planet Saturn. How many people know that Moses was a moon worshiper? Do you know that? Moses was the leader of a lunar cult. Now, let me explain to you. It's very simple. In the Sinai, which is not Egypt, but it's across the Sinai, across from Egypt, is something called the Sinai. And out in the Sinai desert, the Bedouin tribes worshipped a moon god. And this is history. Go to an Encyclopedia Britannica and read it. Read something intelligent for a change. Instead of just believing, read. And you will see that one of the ancient, most important ancient gods in the Sinai was called Sin, S-I-N. That was the name of the moon god. And in the and the part of the worship of the moon god Sin was that he came up every night from his mountain. He lived in the mountain of the moon god. Well, a mountain in ancient Arabic is an Ai. It's spelled Ai. And so the god of the mountain was the moon god Sin. So you put the two together, S-I-N-A-I, it becomes Sinai, Mount Sinai. Is actually Sin, Ai, the mountain of the moon god. This is why the Jews have their holy days after sundown. This is why in Genesis, when the Bible says that God's creating the world, he creates from the evening to the morning. This is why all holy days are after sundown. Why? Because that's when the moon comes out. Moses was a lunar worshiper, a moon worshiper.
Have you ever debated
But here's the bottom line on all of this.
Go ahead.
The difference between religion and intellectual acumen, the difference between religion or true intellectual understanding of words and terms, which leads one to a very profound spiritual presence in the universe that men call God. I have nothing against the idea of God. I believe that there is a presence in the universe, but I believe we have misunderstood and misapplied the words, and that's why we are in so much trouble today.
We don't know
how to read it.
If such said spirit does exist out there, as you just alluded to, why doesn't he is more clear about his presence?
Well, you know, Jesus, we're told that Jesus told us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's an ancient prayer that was preceding even Egypt. But it's interesting, in that prayer it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come, and let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And once you understand that the very word kingdom and thy will be done are words that are synonymous with the zodiac. The kingdom of God is the 12 signs of the zodiac in heaven. And so what we're being told is to pray for wisdom and knowledge so that the people will finally get themselves in tune with the divine plan of the universe, the divine presence in the universe. This is why Jesus has 12 apostles.
Okay.
Joseph has 12 brothers. There are 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest
gotcha.
Of Judaism. Ask any rabbi, what did the 12 stones represent?
All
and
right.
the rabbi will tell you, it represents the zodiac.
All right, Jordan, I'll tell you what, we've run out of time again. It goes so quickly. Anything you'd like to say in the
last
minute?
Go to my website.
Go ahead. Give your website address, please.
JordanMaxwell.com. Jordan is like the river, Maxwell like the coffee. Simple. JordanMaxwell.com. And check into all the articles and give me an email.
Okay.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you for coming on the program here, Jordan.
Sure.
All right. Good evening.
Bye-bye.